ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती टेक्स्ट 27। माय ऑब्लिगेशंस अन टू यू हु आर द प्रॉपर्टी ऑफ द मटेरियली इंपॉवरिश्ड। यू हैव नथिंग टू डू विद द एक्शंस एंड रिएक्शंस ऑफ द मटेरियल मोड्स ऑफ नेचर। You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are master of the monists.
Some important points in this paragraph.
A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess.
So this is our nature. We possess. We possess intelligence. We possess... desire, and we possess, you can say, the initiative. We can do something. We have some possessions, but therefore it's artificial to imagine we can just give up everything. That's what the Mayavadis, they make that mistake. They think we have to just become zero, renounce everything.
Like one devotee, Kirtananda Swami, stood up in the very early days and said, "I want to renounce everything."
Prabhupada said, "Sit down. Don't make a show. What do you have to renounce? You came into the world without anything and you leave without anything. So you don't have anything to renounce." But then why does it say that the living entity is finished as soon as he has nothing to renounce? Because we do have something to renounce. The thing we have to renounce is our false ego, or our desire to put ourselves in the center. So this devotee was indirectly putting himself in the center by presenting himself as a big renunciate. So Prabhupada, he was cutting that. That's called, false ego. So we have to give up the false ego. We have to give up the false conception that we're the enjoyer, we're the proprietor, we're the controller. And we have to accept our position as a servant. But in that position as servant, we also have something. We have something to render. But what do we have to render? Our service. We don't become zero. This is the first point. And another point here. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relationship with the Supreme Lord, one must always distinguish between spirit and matter. So there is a higher sense where everything is spiritual. But we're not at that stage. Therefore, we have to distinguish between the atheist and the innocent and the devotee and the Lord in the temple. At the highest stage, Mahabhagavat, Uttama Arika, he can see that everything is Krishna. Nothing is outside of Krishna. Everything is being done perfectly by Krishna. So, we can't imitate that, nor can we, directly aspire for it, because we don't know exactly what it is. But if we act, we can't know what it is, because we don't have that consciousness. It's not something that we've acquired. Just like a child can't know what sex life is like. He doesn't have that experience. He doesn't have the capacity. The capacity is more than the experience, even. Because he has no capacity. So we have no capacity at this point. Capacity, another word for capacity, is adhikari. We don't have the adhikari. We don't have it. And we can speculate, or we can imagine, we can hear even, but that hearing even, it gives us just an idea, but it's still not the experience. So we won't have the full realization. That requires us to get the experience. Therefore, we shouldn't imitate that. That's become sentimental. If somebody's thinking, "Oh yes, it's all Krishna, so everything is Krishna's mercy, everything is Krishna, everything." No, sometimes we see that it's not Krishna's mercy. Like when a devotee, I gave the example of a devotee, in the early days, somebody threw garbage in the temple. And the devotee said, "Oh, this is Krishna's mercy." Prabhupada didn't like that. But no, it's not Krishna's mercy, it's your negligence. He became angry with them. Why you don't have somebody at the temple? Why the door is left open? Something like that. It's not. So, this is a sentiment.
Therefore, we have to discriminate. Therefore, the intelligence is required to make this distinction that Prabhupada is saying between matter and spirit. And that's why intelligence is very valuable. And intelligence, what is the fact, facility or the work that the intelligence has to do, Prabhupada describes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta describes, and Bhagavad Gita also describes it, the intelligence is feminine. It means its job is not to be aggressive. The male is aggressive, the female is recessive. Means that they're not dominant. Male is dominant. But so the intelligence is female. Its job is just to stay and to observe. And what does it have to observe? It has to observe what is favorable for Krishna consciousness, what is not favorable. What is coming from Krishna, what is not coming from Krishna. Accept things coming from Krishna, advice coming from Krishna, just like we're trying to understand. What is this letter coming from Amoga? Is this really spiritual or is it something material? So that's intelligence. We should have to use our intelligence cool-headedly. Prabhupada used to stress that. Is this material or is this spiritual? If it's material, we reject it. If it's spiritual, then we can use it. Therefore, intelligence has to be developed. You have to become. And how is intelligence developed? By not becoming aggressive about it. You know, not trying to force ourselves on Krishna or trying to capture Krishna. Even Mother Yasoda couldn't capture Krishna unless she let him. So that should be our mood. We're not trying to become the controller of Krishna. Therefore, we stress on this point about being submissive, being humble. This is the real sign of intelligence. Because this is our position. We're Nicho, Nicho, Nam, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. We're the small, we're the controlled. We're not independent. But because we have this false ego, we tend to want to, take the initiative. Our mind will say, yes, go here, do this, touch this, taste this. Mm. So we have to control the mind. This is, again, the use of intelligence. We have to become more and more intelligent, not to be controlled by the lower nature, not to be controlled by the mind. And only to be controlled by the superior. Our position is to be controlled. We're not independent. But if we're controlled by the Lord, then we have freedom there. That's our real. We want freedom. This is the real freedom. Otherwise, everyone else is acting according to their nature. They can't get free from the modes of material nature. They're acting according to their nature. So they're not really free. They may think they're free, but that's part of the illusion. They're bound up very tightly. So Bhakti Vinod calls this Maya, where we are sitting in now. We're all in the kingdom of Maya. He calls it a wonderful contrivance because it keeps everyone perfectly enamored, perfectly entrapped, like a more expert than any prison house, because we become prisoners. So we have to give up that desire to be sinful. That's what's keeping us here in this material world. So we have lust and greed and anger in our heart. So if we give them up, and how can we give them up? Because we've been serving them from time immemorial. They're very powerful. So we can give them up on a positive way and a negative way. We give them up on a negative way by just neglecting them. But sometimes they're so forceful, so pushing, that it's difficult to them. Therefore, we have to be more forceful in our spiritual activities, more enthusiastic, in other words. It's a form of enthusiasm. The lust is pushing us to be so enthusiastic to run after the sense objects. So we have to be more enthusiastic to run after Krishna's service. And then we'll be able to control this lust. So how is Krishna's service? It means we want to engage everyone in Krishna's service. This is and we want to become qualified for Krishna service. So the both things are there, achar, achar. So on the achar point, we have to be very, enthusiastic to get up in the morning, especially to chant Hare Krishna. It's the best time.
and to read and to study and so on, everything to increase our devotional activity. And on the prachar aspect, we should engage everything. We were telling the story how Hansa Duda was the temple president of Vrindavan for some time, and he came complaining about the women who were there. Women were coming, they couldn't be engaged properly, they had children. So he was saying, Prabhupada, there's a trouble with all these women. And Prabhupada just sat back, he had his hands behind his head. He said, yes, this is the trouble, women and money. So, this is the trouble. But how do we overcome? Because we can engage them. We can engage the money in Krishna's service. Like we're here, Maharaj is collecting money. But we're not in anxiety because we know he's going to engage it in Krishna's service. Therefore, we don't become envious or greedy for his money because he's using it properly. Ordinary man, he's got so much money, he doesn't know how to use it. Then he invokes envy from others. But the Brahmin, he's taking money, but he's using it that same day. And then at the end of the day, he has no money. That's the prototype or ideal. archetype is called. The best example. Similarly, women, engage them in Krishna service. Then there won't be anything wrong there. If we're able to do that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, if I could have Krishna conscious children, I'm ready to have sex thousands of times. But that's the whole, you can say, it's a whole package. You want to have Krishna conscious children, then there's a lot involved. So he personally didn't do that. But that's there. You want to have women in your life, then you have to learn how to engage them in Krishna service. You want to have money, you have to learn how to engage it. Otherwise, go to the forest, live very simply. But you can't do that either. So, therefore we say this is the best process, this bhakti yoga. Alright? I didn't finish the purport, but it's a long purport. Just a second.